Good to see each one out tonight. And we trust the Lord will bless his word as we look at it together. I'd like to look at a few verses here. We've been doing a little study on the Song of Solomon. That is not the Song of Solomon. On Pilgrim's Progress. I would like for us to look at John chapter 16 for a moment. I'd like to speak tonight on the subject of the sanctification of the unbeliever, otherwise known as the conviction of sin that comes before we are saved, the work of the Holy Spirit in the heart of a believer, of an unbeliever, as he before he is saved. It's a wonderful work of God. Let's look at verse 7 of chapter 16. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove or convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. If we might also turn to one other passage, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Beginning to read at verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. I notice those words, through sanctification of the Spirit first, and then belief of the truth. There is a wonderful work. We were looking, I haven't been here, or for that matter, I don't speak at home enough to cover this very quickly, but when we look at this passage, I'll just show you a picture. Pilgrim's on his way. The Lord has gotten a hold of him. He has shown him that he is a lost sinner, that the world is under the condemnation of God and will be burned up, and those that are wicked will be burned up with it, and that he was wicked and knew it in his own heart, and that he would join them. And so he rushes out of the city of destruction, which was his hometown. Very often, we think, we sing sometimes, Prince Edward Island is heaven to me. And I kind of like to sing that song. I like Prince Edward Island. But the truth is that one day this place is going to burn under the judgment of God. This man understood some of these things. And yet he wasn't saved right away. There was a working of the Holy Spirit in his heart, cutting off the ties to the world, teaching him things from the preaching of the gospel, for we notice here it is the gospel that is preached, teaching him so many things and edging him along. And you know something, I believe with all my heart, that if that work of the Holy Spirit had not happened in my heart, I would not be saved tonight. But I'm thankful that it took place. It was a miserable time in my life. A very miserable time. But when I look back, I think without it, my life would be just bound the same way it was, to die and to perish in hell with all the rest. And so I am thankful for that great work of God, which took place many years ago now. But still it is rather my glory. Now we are getting closer and closer to the time, and by the way, I've read all the chapters to do with Pilgrim, so I kind of know how his case ends. I can't say that for anybody. Well, I could say it for a way for the believers, but and sadly, I guess I can for the unbelievers too. But how God does his great work. Maybe tonight there's someone in this room that God has been really showing you that there is a whole aspect of life that is yet future, and that there is the judgment of God coming. And as the scripture says, that how shall ye escape the wrath of God? How shall ye escape? But as this man gets closer to the cross and closer to his salvation, the Spirit of God is showing him things. He's called interpreter in the scripture. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He shows us these things. He's been really working in the background with our friend for a long time. But anyway, he finally, our friend Pilgrim, he comes to interpreter's house. And interpreter has one that is called a light bearer. It's amazing that the house is totally in darkness. Pilgrim cannot see a thing, really. He's come a long way, but he still is in the dark. Really, there's so much that he still has not caught on to. But he has a light bearer. And he says, I want to show you some things. There's a time when perhaps we're attending gospel meetings, perhaps someone has given us a book on the gospel or is having a study with us or something, and things begin, the lights start to come on. The lights start to come on. I remember one man that he said to me, you know what he said, and he wasn't saved, and he didn't get saved until he died. But the Spirit of God was working in his life. And he said, you know, this is the first winter I didn't steal my winter's wood. It's amazing how the Lord does work, even in the hearts of those that are not saved. But anyway, he brings them into this dark place, and there's a light bearer there. I believe that we are the light bearers. And how important a work it is. It is a work really basically of the Spirit of God. But here is light. And then we are, as it were, the light carriers. And he takes him into a dark room. And he shows him a picture. The entrance of thy word giveth light. There was an awakening by the Spirit of God. He is the interpreter and the illuminator, the giver of light. So they go into this dark room. And we have a picture of a man. And our friend Pilgrim, he is taken up with this man. It is a picture. Now, it's amazing how things go when you're unsaved. I remember that I was struggling, and I believe it was the Spirit of God that was doing it. And this is what I pictured a saved person to be. If you have a look there, you'll see that it's somebody that's in a cage. He's got water, he's got bread, and I suppose what he can see outside, but he's basically in some kind of a very much bound up, unhappy situation. And you know, I believe that's the way an unsaved person sees the life of salvation. That's the way we see it. We just wonder how we have to give up everything that's fun. We have to give up everything that's illegal, everything that, we just look at that and we say, all right then, this world is a terrible place, I've learned that, but I'm willing to live this miserable, pent up prison of a life. And we do not really see the glories of having Christ in our lives. I remember looking at choices that I would make before I was saved. Those things that did not please God, and I thought I might give them up, but this is the way I felt about it. This was it. You know, the Spirit of God, as He worked with me, there was a time in my life when I saw it more like this. Here's a man, and the world is behind him, the world that is going to be burned up. And he's got a smile on his face, or at least a pleasant look. He is full of love and joy and peace. He's got his eyes not on the right or the left. He's got his eyes looking up, waiting for the Lord to come. He's got a Bible in his hand that guides him surely all the way through life. He's got crowns up above his head. Not only a home in heaven, but a glorious place. And he has on him a white robe. His sins are gone. He is forgiven. He is on the road to heaven. And you know something? When I was thinking of my ideal person is to do well on this planet, the world, get in there, do well here, look after the future, look after your own, do really well here. And the treasures of this world, and pie in the sky, you might give the Lord an hour on Sunday. But there was no beauty, no wonder. And yet, I remember a time when I would have given anything to be that guy right there. What a change! I wasn't that guy. But he was the ideal. The Lord had changed my heart to such an area, and things were narrowing in, where there it was, in front of me. I'll tell you, when I heard of a person's testimony of how the Lord had saved them and brought joy into their hearts and assurance of salvation, even as an unsaved person, it excited me in a way it never had all through the years. And I was brought up going to Sunday school and church. Now, it's quite a thing when your mind begins to change and you begin to see. You begin to see. I remember as an unsaved person before I was saved, singing the old hymns, and I just absolutely would be enraptured. This music, of course, was always a part of my life. But I could compare to the things I'd have to give up. If I had music, this would be it. This would be me. But with music, with heavenly music, I tell you, there's a change comes in a man's life in the way he his outlook. When the Spirit of God is working. And it would not be my way tonight to try to force you to walk an aisle or say a prayer for fear you would miss the working of God and the true salvation that is only in Jesus Christ. I would never say to anyone, well, you don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. You can keep that, and then maybe after you're saved, the Lord will take it away. I'll tell you that I don't believe that's true. I believe it's much more healthy for you to think it through, to allow the Spirit of God to teach you some things, although, as we'll see, there is more to that as well. We'll deal with later. But it is so important. Salvation is so important. When I look back at my salvation, of course, because the only salvation I know that intimately, I'd say it's the perfect salvation. But I do believe a man can be walking down the street and someone can give him a tract and he can grab a hold of his life and change it. And I believe salvation itself is instantaneous, although the Lord must do a tremendous work in a man's life before he's interested. When you are dead, when you are deaf, when you are blind, you're pretty hard to deal with. Wonderful things. Some of these things, by the way, are warnings and some of them are encouragements. He takes them into another room and there's already a big fire going. And someone is busy putting water on the fire. And you'd think the fire is going to go out. You'd think that the fire is going to go out. Satan is busy. But interpreter shows him on the other side of the wall that there is a man there pouring oil into the fire. So that instead of the water putting it down, it's putting it up. And the fire is burning higher and higher. He said, you know, that's the way it is with salvation. Satan would do anything to ruin your possible salvation. He would put water on the fire in your heart. I noticed at one time we talked about Pilgrim getting into the slough of despond. How could I be saved, a wretched thing like me, and the things I think and the things I do? Satan could still give me a pretty jolly ride on that sort of thing, even after being saved. But when you're before you're saved, that's some real water. But at the same time, the Lord is doing a work. Once was a man that I know. He went out to hear the gospel, and as he heard the gospel, he was offended by it. He got mad. He said, I will never go back. But it's interesting that the next Sunday he went back, and the next Sunday he went back. And he broke bread and remembered the Lord and served the Lord for about 50 years before he stopped going back. It's interesting that as much as Satan can do, there is still a marvelous work of God going on. As much as he can do. There are those here that would testify, yes, there was lots of things came before me. Before I was through, the night I was saved, I didn't care about the hypocrites in the church, which is one of Satan's things. We may cooperate with, by the way, but nonetheless, that's one of Satan's things. I remember once a man saying to me, not long after I was saved, talking about this Christian who had a terrible temper and he could make the air blue with his language. And I said, I have to stand before God on my own. And I'm not going to allow anybody to send me to hell. Would you? Yes, Satan may pour the water on, but the Holy Spirit and the Lord, he's pouring the oil on. It's not a useless thing to be sharing the word of God. But the way he does it is through people like you and I that are saved. As we would share the gospel or give out a tract or perchance give a testimony or a word. Yes, what an encouragement that was. The fact is, Pilgrim said, my goodness, I think I'll get saved tonight, but he didn't. There was a wonderful things that the Spirit of God was teaching him. He could look back even then and say, well, why am I keeping going on this track? I've been disappointed. The Christians have disappointed me. The world has disappointed me. My health has disappointed me. My wealth situation has disappointed me. My marriage has disappointed me. My goodness. But here I am, still wanting to hear the gospel. It is foremost in my mind that I might join the company of heaven. It is a miracle. It is a miracle. He taught him something else. The Bible says that by the works of the law, no flesh is justified. He goes into another room, and the lights are on, interpreter says to a man in there that's carrying a broom, he said, would you sweep up the dust that's in here? So he began sweeping the dust off the ceiling, off the walls. The whole room fills with dust. And poor old pilgrim here is choking. I noticed, by the way, in this picture, he's got this tremendous load of sin in his back. It's still there. And interpreter says, you know, this is the human heart. You can try to be as good as you like, but you're still going to be the same old guy. You can look in the mirror. You could say, today I'm going to keep the law of God, and tonight you are going to be disappointed. Because while the law can show us what sin is and make us feel bad about it and mess up our lives. And that happened to me before I was saved. My life was messed up by the gospel I was hearing. It's like, but my heart was being stirred, but there was no sure way of out that I could see at that time. But finally, I just knew this I can't do it. That's what the whole thing is. If there was all of these windows here, and they were all sealed up but one, and somebody yells fire, and we go to one window and it's sealed, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one, we go to the one that we can get out. And the law teaches, the law teaches us that we are sinners, but we cannot be saved by the law. In other words, basically, when we come down to it, if the Lord don't save us, we ain't gonna get saved. By the way, he speaks, and a woman comes in, and she takes water and throws it over the dust. And then he takes the broom again, and the dust all settles, and they pile it up and takes it away. And he said, this is the power of the gospel. Telling people that Jesus died, bearing their sins, that he rose again, that he gives eternal life. So it's effectual, just like putting water on dust, and you can gather up the dust. We used to have green stuff, and when we would sweep the floor at our one-room school 100 years ago, I tell you, if you didn't use that, the room was full of dust. You put a little of that, sprinkle it around, and you just use maybe a handful of it, then follow it around with the broom, and not a bit of dust anywhere. It's amazing, and that's how the gospel does it. It's effectual. It's the power of God unto true salvation. But there's no other way. The last thing he shows him here, he brings him into a room, and you remember the light bearer is there. We find two little boys. Now, one little boy is called Patience. The other little boy is called Passion. Now, Patience is sitting in a chair, for he has been promised that by and by that he will receive rewards, mansions, the very presence of God, the fruit of the tree of life, to drink from the water of life, to walk the golden streets of heaven, to have no more pain or sorrow of any kind. And so, in his life, he's sitting down patiently waiting for it. So this other boy, his name is Passion. He sees the gold. He sees the opportunity. He does not want to wait. His attitude is, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Get whatever you can. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. He said, this is a choice that man has. And it's interesting that there are those, and the unsaved, of course, they mock. They mock, look, you don't have any fun. You're giving up the fun. He says, no, no, I'm banking up my fun. I'm banking up the joy of the Lord. I'm banking up the glory in heaven. Oh, well, that's pie in the sky by and by. How are you sure that's going to work out? Well, he says, I wait for the Lord. You know, the thing about Pilgrim, he was taking all these things in. And I remember taking them in. Taking them in. I wasn't very happy because it was still a tremendous pull. I was as much this as anybody. But when the Spirit of God begins to really, truly work in your life, you begin to look at things differently than ever you did before. And closer that you get to the Lord, and I believe this is also true, as we think of the sanctifying work of the Spirit, the more that you become aware of two things. That I am a very great sinner, and Jesus Christ is a very great Savior. That there is only one way to be saved, but that way is all important. It's all important. I pray tonight that every soul here is saved. Actually, it would be nice if there were some folks here that weren't saved till now. It would be nice if there are those that would hear the word of God and how the Lord is working and say, you know something? I'm somewhere along that path. And I don't intend to turn back or turn aside till I know for sure I'm saved. I think of a verse. Keep on asking, keep on seeking. He that seeketh shall find. To him that knocketh, the door shall be open. To him that asks, he shall receive. I really believe that there is a very important thing. He shows him, last of all, this man. I showed him as what I was like, as being an unsaved man. This man was in a real bind altogether. It's a terrible thing to have avoided and to run away from the grace of God until God finally says, you know what? If you don't want it, then you can't have it. Not saying that that is how he deals with things from the first. But he comes to this man, and there he is. He is in a jail, built by his own lust for things in the world, by his own choices that he really is not willing to turn his back on the world and turn to Christ. I think of the rich young ruler. He went away sad. I kind of wonder, it seems that he knew that he didn't have salvation. And I'm not saying he never got it, but he went away some sad. And it would appear that maybe he was sad for the rest of his life. Maybe he was sad for the rest of his life. There's a verse in the scripture, and it says, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. There's another verse that says, my spirit will not always strive with man. To tell you the truth, when I pray for some of my unsaved family, I pray, Lord, please do not cease to strive with them. For that would be a terrible thing this man is in a bad shape. He said, well, why don't you just let me read the scripture? It's no good for you to read the scripture. Why don't you let me to pray for you? It's no good. It's all over for me. That would be a good excuse, by the way, but it's not an excuse, it's a truth. It is a terrible thing to turn your back on the Lord. The Bible says when the of Esau that he sought repentance with tears. It is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. So, yes, I would say, you think about it. Think about the things that you might have to give up. Think about the choices you would make concerning this world. Even now, make them. Go ahead. But remember that there is also a word in the scripture that says today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. I believe Satan's favorite word is tomorrow or later. But there is, for sure, an urgency. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the story of Pilgrim's Progress. We thank thee, Father, for thy working in the unbeliever's heart. I thank thee, Father, for the working in my heart. I thank thee for the working of many people in this room. The way you have worked in their hearts in various ways, in various time frames. Some were saved young, others were saved older. Some were saved from the gutter, some were saved from the pew. And we thank thee, Lord, however you have saved them, whether they be self-righteous or dedicated hedonists, that, Lord, you have done so. And we would pray, Father, for all those that are here. And we pray that each one may have a progress from the road and the town of destruction and the island of destruction to an assurance of heaven and the wonderful relationship that is had between a repentant sinner and the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.